This podcast is a proud member of the Lamb Podcasting Network. Find the network at largeassmovieblogs.com.
Welcome to the Really Awful Movies Podcast, a celebration of low-budget cinema.
Is another apocalyptic prediction about to come true? Winds of death sweep across the world, and whole continents will be cast adrift in an ocean of blood.
Hi, I'm Chris, and along with Jeff, we're bringing you the very best and worst of horror, sci-fi, action, exploitation, kung fu, and women in prison movies from the 1970s to today. Be sure and check out reallyawfulmovies.com for reviews, interviews, lists, and terrific movie giveaways. From our downtown Toronto headquarters, here's episode 25. Clichés that annoy the hell out of us.
let's just have one caveat right away. Love movies.
Yeah.
We love movies. We love good movies. We love bad movies.
We especially love
bad movies. But when you watch as many movies as we do, you start to see certain things being repeated again and again and again. And every so often, to quote Peter Griffin, they start to grind your gears.
Yeah.
So we're not going to get into the romantic comedy cliche, or we're not going to get into
where someone falls over an ottoman and that's deemed
exactly,
charming.
Yeah. because that's not really in our wheelhouse.
Is it charming, really.
No, not at all.
Would you want to romance a woman who falls over an ottoman?
Well, it depends if...
You better not answer that.
I don't want to get too sexist, Anyway, we're going to talk about genre movies. So, horror films, action films, that sort of thing. So, Chris, tell me one thing about horror movies that really annoy you. I know you really hate supernatural movies.
Hate supernatural films, and there's two things that annoy me. Mm-hmm. Well, in the overall scheme of things, they annoy me because they're cynically geared toward the under 16 set, mm-hmm. and they have no gore, they have nothing really transcendent, and they all tend to be based on the same sort of boilerplate shitty template.
Right.
So we're talking crap. About. So this is stuff that will prejudice me towards hating them immediately, mm-hmm. but. You're in agreement, yeah.
I hate these ones too. I'm not going to say all supernatural sucks. First of all.
Just 85%.
When I think of movies Poltergeist or The Changeling or what have you, these are great movies.
Oh, yeah, The Changeling, you can't go wrong with that.
Yeah, I'm not talking about the Angelina Jolie.
George C. Scott.
The Tax Shelter classic, The Changeling. But we're talking about your Annabelle's and your
The Conjuring. Well,
so,
the two that bug me are when you're demonically possessed, mm-hmm. if that to coin a phrase, if that isn't one, then you're for some reason your limbs just speed up and you tend to gyrate back and forth. And in The Grudge, the original Grudge, you see that.
The
Japanese version, and then everything subsequent to that, everyone just.
Yeah.
Shakes back and forth.
Yeah, they'll have epileptic seizures. Yeah.
And then the other one is the eyeballs. Yeah. The disappearing eyeballs that turn to white or to black. For the most part, they turn to white, and they invariably involve a woman. I don't know why eyeballs, say that five times fast, can't turn black. But yeah, enough already with the sped up demonic possessions, uh-huh. and the eyeballs.
I'm also getting really sick of exorcism movies. Mm-hmm. The Exorcist was a classic, but this whole demonic possession thing is ridiculous. It's overdone, and stop going to see them. They'll stop making them. Sticking with horror, obviously there's a lot of horror cliches that we're not even going to get into.
Go in the barn.
Yeah, the black guy's always getting killed first.
Yeah,
or, the unreliable car, when the killer's chasing after you, get in the car, right? There's that one.
The authority figure that you disbelieve.
Exactly. Or the parents that don't believe you, Or the cat scare. This is all stuff we actually have on our site. We have a list, signs you're in a bad horror movie. But so we're not going to talk about those ones, but there's something that really, really bugs me in horror movies, and that is when somebody is in peril, i.e. they're tied up, or they're being tortured, they're about to be killed, and they
rip the
gag off them.
Gag off them. Why are you doing this to me?
Why are you doing this to me?
Why are you doing this to me?
It's like, if I...
They're a psychopathic loon. Yeah.
Exactly. That's your answer. They're doing it to you. You're fucked. They're doing it.
Yeah. Right?
And if you know why, it's not going to make a predicament any better. It's being
done.
My
mommy didn't love me. Yeah. Does that help at all?
The other thing, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Oh, I got an F in third grade geography. The other thing I really love is instead of saying, why are they doing this to me? Oh, you don't have to do this. You don't have to do this.
So. Oh, yeah, I see your point now. I'm going to just abandon ship right here.
I thought I had to do it. Yeah. Oh, my God.
I've been swayed. I'm going
to
leave
now. I had a guidance counselor second grade tell me I had to be a sociopathic
killer. In the face of such compelling rhetoric, I see your point.
Exactly.
I do not have to do this. I'm just going to turn around and leave.
How about this? I don't have to do it, but I want to do it.
And the other one is there anyone there?
Oh, yeah.
Is there anyone there?
Is there anyone there?
I'm going to descend slowly into the basement with my flashlight.
With my unreliable flashlight most of the time.
And if there is anyone there and they want to kill you, then they're not going to...
I'm here.
Or B, if they are there and they're friendly to your interests, then of course you will hear from them, as you will have given away your appearance there. Ooh. By shining a flashlight into the precipices of this basement.
Mm.
So that's horror. And then... Action films.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the action films are rife with things. I mean, again, I'm not going to say... They annoy me, but at the same time, they're endearing there, too. Something that's hilarious is the... when it comes to guns, I mean, there's so many crazy cliches with guns. Let's talk about the gun itself. I mean, the one thing I love is the useless gun. Again, like,
yeah.
You know, whether it's the
when
hero...
you've expelled your rounds, you discard the magazine in disgust or whatever. You've shot.
Yeah,
your
exactly.
Gun.
Like,
blown your load.
It's like
so
no
to
one
speak.
Has ever heard of reloading. It's like, yeah. Oh my god. Okay, well, I've shot all my bullets, and now this gun is useless. I'm just going to toss it.
Yeah.
Forget the fact that it cost me $500, and I'm in the mean streets of South Central Los Angeles. I'm going to throw this gun on the floor.
Yeah.
Haven't you heard of reloading?
Yeah.
No. It's a useless gun. In other words, it's like a fucking disposable camera. You know what I mean?
Put it in your pocket, use it for another day, or feign it's loadedness, for lack of a better word. You don't have one in the chamber, so what? I'm sure enough people would think you did have one in the chamber for it to be useful
at
some point.
There's been many times in my life when I've had
nothing in the chamber.
But I've been able to, you know...
fire off a discharge a few rounds?
Yeah,
I guess we should say we've both shot... we like guns.
Yeah. Well, no, I don't like guns. I
love guns.
I was in Australia, and I did shoot, but I did it just to do it. I don't like guns. You like guns.
Yeah, I went to Niagara Falls area. I went and shot 9mm, 22s. I went trap shooting with semi-automatic rifles. I'm a pretty good shot.
Okay.
I got to say, I enjoyed it. And it's sort of empowering. And to our friends in the United States, it's an amendment right. It's a constitutional right to defend yourself. And I would say, argue, an inalienable right. Self-defense is, regardless of the technology.
I'm just pleading the fifth.
Yeah, there you go. Our American friends, we're accommodating you big time. Anyway, when you shoot, it is effing loud.
Mm-hmm.
And anyone in an action film, they just shoot these things willy-nilly.
Mm-hmm.
They can converse and
recite Shakespearean soliloquy, and you know, no one's ever deafened by these litany of gunshots, right?
Yeah, they're carrying on some of the world's great dialogues, like Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf,
right.
While rounds are being expelled. It's unbelievable. And that brings us into this next point. So it's deafening, as are explosions, but it seems to be people seem to be impervious to explosions.
People
just
can walk
more
away
definite.
From
yeah.
explosions. They
or
can
dive away, and they get up, and they're fine.
Yeah, now, I don't know much about physics, but one thing I do know, if there's an explosion, it's going to create some sort of vortex, and you're going to be sucked back into that thing.
Yeah.
Or at least you're going to suffer
some sort of tinnitus.
Or you're going to be like Pete Townsend. Yeah, or just some form of like second-degree burns as you walk. No, these guys, they just walk away all nonchalant. They don't look back. It's like, hey, I'm a cool dude.
Yeah.
There's an explosion behind me, but hey, you know?
And back to the shootings. If you're behind a pillar, you're in a gunfight with a mafiosi or a low-level...
A RoboCop.
Yeah.
A rotor.
A rotor. Or just any sort of bad dudes. You're in a big gun battle like the OK Corral. For some reason, you're hidden behind some sort of barrier. Because you don't want to be shot. But at some point, you decide that it's in your best interest to...
leap out from your protected structure and dive while simultaneously shooting two pistols while you fly toward the side. Mm-hmm. And you're an incredibly good shot while flying through the air. And it always happens in slow motion.
Yeah,
it's incredibly difficult to hit a target. Uh-huh. Like, you can't underestimate how hard shooting is. Especially with handguns. I was pretty good, again, with trap shooting. But God, if I was diving through the air, I'd be considerably less good.
Well, again, the thing, too, is, I know for a fact, and, I'm not a gun aficionado at all, I know that it's impossible to properly aim. It's hard enough to aim with one gun.
One gun, yeah.
But if you're holding two guns...
while you're flying through the air.
This, if John Woo's doing it, Bullet Ballet, Hong Kong, this is all forgiven. Yeah. But otherwise, I'm talking about Keanu Reeves,
The
Matrix. You cannot aim... two guns at the same time. Half-Past Dead is a very egregious example, this one. You talked about the barrier. That's a funny one, too. When someone's behind a post, right, and that's they're the protected... I did not know that
every
pillar
post is impervious
is made
to bullets.
Of titanium. Yeah. Because basically, there you go. There's no way the bullet is going to go through there. They don't even get hit by shrapnel, you know? But what if they, instead of diving, what if they decide instead they're going to stand in front of a railing during this gunfight?
Yeah. Never stand by a railing or a catwalk or any sort of precipice, because if the fatal bullet wound doesn't get to you, you will fall to your death. Because
you will fall over behind. you'll do a reverse somersault over the railing.
You'll make a point to find the nearest railing if you're at a significant enough height to fall to your death.
Well, most of the time, from my limited amount of knowledge, if you're shot, you just sort of slump.
You
dead.
Slump, yeah.
But no, these people, they pirouette over the railing, screaming all the way down. Oh!
And that goes the same, regardless of whether it's weapons that precipitate this. You are punched in the face, or you're clotheslined,
you'll
fly over the nearest precipice.
Yeah.
Also, I guess we should get to, the meds not working.
Well, before we get to that, one more thing about the gun. This goes back to the useless gun. What about the gun with the never-ending supply of ammunition?
You see
this a lot in, Rambo, and, of course, your knockoffs, most of them starring, Red Brown. Something like that. But, they have those stupid bandoliers and whatnot, but things got to run out eventually, right?
Yeah, eventually. They never have any backup, but it's just there to look cool.
Yeah, so that's another thing that kind of bugs me, too. It's either, you just never see anybody reloading in a movie. Either the gun never needs to be reloaded, or it's no more bullets.
No more bullets.
Get rid of it.
Done with it. Yeah.
So, the other one was the...
meds don't work.
The meds don't work. I call this meds don't work. This is, again, horror movies. I'm thinking of a movie let's say, Scream, okay? Where basically, it's sort of who can it be? Who's behind the mask?
Or New Year's Evil.
Exactly. Who's the killer? And, if this killer is in your circle of friends, and he's Bob, he's Bob. Yeah. He's normal Bob.
Yeah, everyone knows Bob.
And then Bob's a great guy. Bob's normal. Bob's cool. And all of a sudden, here comes a climactic moment. You rip off the mask. Oh, it's like the Scooby-Doo scene. Bob, it can't be you. And all of a sudden, just like that, Bob's meds just stopped working.
Yeah.
Of course it was me. It was me all along. And, and they go this long-winded monologue about why they did it and how they're wrong.
He's perfectly fine staying in character to butcher all your friends, but once he's unmasked...
And all of a sudden, they're drooling, and it's like they're going into epileptic shock, and they're having a rabies attack all at once. It's like, oh, of course it was me. I hate that.
Turning to the medical field here, we got the scrubs.
The scrubs.
Yeah.
In another podcast, we spoke about glasses being the great disguiser. i.e., if you wear glasses, nobody will recognize you. Yeah. Now, if
you're sort of mousy. And you wear glasses, and then as soon as you doff the glasses, you are suddenly spectacularly hot and just full of just unbridled sex appeal, as we discussed in Fifty Shades of Grey.
So as it appears, if you're if you happen to be in a hospital and you just want to walk around carte blanche, just find yourself a pair of scrubs.
Yeah, scrubs and a mask, because apparently doctors, when they're not doing surgery, they walk around in masks all the time. Doesn't matter whether they're going to the lounge, they're going to the going to pick up some grub.
Mm-hmm.
They're just hanging out. No, scrubs all the way.
Right.
Access cards, forget about
it. Need it.
No need.
Medical certificate, don't need it. It's like, hey, buddy, you're wearing scrubs. You got open heart surgery in room 21B. Come on in,
And for anyone who has ever tried to get an appointment with a specialist, there are not many, let's say, urologists in, pick your big city, Toronto, Chicago, LA. There's just not many of them. So how would the nurses not know? Let's say your average big city hospital maybe has one urologist.
Right,
some guy who's like Dr. Whoever. He's just wandering around carte blanche because he's got a mask. Like, you don't know as a nurse who the doctors are.
Mm.
Anyway, Rain.
Oh, Rain. Rain is hilarious. This is the pathetic fallacy.
Pathetic fallacy, yeah. Where you have natural phenomena duplicate human emotions. Mm-hmm. This happens in every film. Doesn't matter the genre, but particularly in our genre. And most recently in the Steven Seagal epic, Half Past Dead,
mm-hmm.
where as soon as you're in a heavy-duty, serious situation, the rain starts pouring mm-hmm. down.
Right, right. And the thing about rain in movies, and again, this is sort of out of our genre. We saw this in 50 Shades of Grey, where our heroine walks out and there's some sort of like, you know, emotional crisis. I've already forgotten this because I should believe. But anyway.
Yeah, she's had a falling out with her telecom billionaire paramour.
Paramour, Christian Grey, and a fucking rapey piece of shit. But anyway. So, of course, it's a rainstorm. And they never have an umbrella. They always they always take their jacket and put it over their head.
And nothing's just merely sad. It's just sort of a tepid drizzle. It's always something incredibly...
It's a torrential monsoon, dude. Like, it's never, ever just like, oh, it's a, you know, a light shower, you know? No, it's got to be a bloody monsoon. Every time there's a rainstorm in a movie, it's like, you know...
There's some serious
batting business. Down the hatches. I mean, this is it, you know? So, I mean, this is... This
the
is,
wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald.
There you go. A little Canadian Avery there. Gordon Lightfoot. Yep. Yep.
They could have made Whitefish Bay if they hadn't made... 30 knots an hour? I don't know. We won't sing any Gordon Lightfoot for it.
So, I mean, you know, this is just
this is the tip of the iceberg.
The tip of the iceberg, I mean, to use a hoary cliche. I mean, there are so many little things like sort of grinder gears to get us, you know, little picadillos in movies and stuff.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we'd love to hear from you guys. What cliches annoy you when it comes to cinema? Give us a, you know, send us an email and maybe we'll discuss your cliche as well.
Send us an email, reallyawfulmovies@gmail.com. Send us the cliche, maybe two examples of movies. We mentioned The Conjuring earlier and The Grudge. And we're not, we'd love to hear from you.
We'll hear from you. We'll mention your name on air. You'll become world famous. Your friends will love you. The girl of your dream will date you. And, Yeah,
just make sure it's not raining while you're trying to woo her.
Exactly.
Anyway, for more, check out www.reallyawfulmovies.com, and we'll talk to you soon.
Take care.